Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Thank you. Christmas. Good evening, church, and welcome to worship here at First United Methodist Church in Brighton. I'm Lindsay Hall. I'm one of the clergy that serves at this congregation.
And I'm Reverend John Reynolds. Merry Christmas and welcome to our church.
It is a great delight to welcome you this evening as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we celebrate the great light that will be among us. This evening, as you came in, you maybe received a candle. At the end of our worship service, we'll be celebrating and singing together Silent Night. So if you didn't happen to receive a candle, give a wave and one of the ushers will help you find a candle. To our congregation worshiping online at home, we would invite you also to find a candle and light it and be ready to share that Silent Night moment when you're at home. Also, as you came in the doors here of our congregation or online, you found a green connection card. We'd encourage you to fill that out and you can place it in the offering plate during worship. It shares some things happening in the life of the church. We're so glad that you're here, and we would warmly invite you back to worship on Sunday, the 26th of December, where we're going to have one service here at our Brighton campus at 9:30, as well as online at 9:30. We do hope that you'll come back and worship and praise God together. Well, it is wonderful to be here. It is wonderful to celebrate the light. And at last, it is Christmas Eve. The light has come into the world, and our hope has not been in vain.
You've hung lights, baked, frosted, and eaten some of the cookies, lit candles, sang carols, bought presents, seen colorful lights, wrapped more presents, hung ornaments, and run all throughout the town.
That's right. We've crossed items off of our list. We've been to Christmas gatherings, perhaps, spent too much maybe, money maybe, forgot that one last thing on the gift list. Perhaps you've decorated, hung stockings, received a very strange white elephant gift, and then in return, re-gifted that strange white elephant gift to somebody else.
You've put bows in your hair, read a Christmas story, set out cookies for Santa, went to a tree farm, placed a star upon the tree, plugged in the lights, and found that missing replacement light bulb.
That darn light bulb. So now is the moment. The moment is near. The moment of hope on not such a silent, quiet night. But when away in a manger, no crib for the bed, the little boy Jesus lay down his sweet head.
Join us as we come all together to adore him. Join your voices with the angels crying, "Hark! Won't you come, all of you who are faithful, to the little town of Bethlehem?
To see the greatest joy that has ever entered the world, oh come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord."
Thank you. Tonight we light the Christ candle. Hear these words from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life that was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
We light the Christ candle to reveal our Advent waiting is almost complete. Our altogether peace, hope, love, and joy rest in the trust of God's promised Messiah, the child wrapped in swaddling clothes, whom angels announce, shepherds celebrate, the wise worship, and the meek treasure.
Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for Emmanuel, the Prince of Peace, the hope of all nations, the eternal love from generation to generation, and the joy of your steadfast presence. Grant us patience to live into the light that knows neither beginning nor end. In the name of our Savior, amen.
Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David.
He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son.
Told the news to a bird on high, and Shepherds cross the desert sands, we're joining hand in hand to sing him songs of praise and joy. And three wise men from afar were guided by a star, came bringing presents for the holy boy. The star lit the heavens, a bright and wondrous thing, telling all the earth below, born to us a king. Come sing out his glory, and let your voices ring.
Shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared before them and with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
Thank you.
had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger.
When they had seen him, they spread the word, considering what had been told them. About this child and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and poured them into her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in him, he gave power to become children of God, who were born, not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Journeyed from
Let's give our thanks and praise again to the students. That was absolutely beautiful and so very moving. The Christmas star that lights the way. Yes, indeed. Church, please join me in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, as we gather for worship this evening, our hearts are filled with joy as we hear and celebrate the Christmas story. We listen to the words of Scripture and we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. We journey with Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. We anticipate and wait for Jesus to be born, and we hear his morning cry as it finally comes. We rejoice with the angels. We draw near to peer into the stable as the shepherds looked on, and we hold in our hearts the Christ child as Mary held him tenderly and laid him in a manger. Oh, loving God, as we gather for worship this evening and we celebrate the gift of Jesus, we celebrate the gift that he shares with the world, the gifts of peace and hope and joy and love. Loving God, may we receive them this day with great thankfulness and gratitude, and in turn share those gifts with the world. Speak to us in your scripture, Almighty God. Open our hearts to receive your word, you who are Emmanuel, God with us. And may the words of our mouth, may the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Well, this past week, my two kids and I did a little bit of baking to prepare for Christmas morning. Perhaps you've had your hands in the sugar and the flour as well. And like many people, we got out the mixing bowls, the measuring cups, the hand mixer and the beaters. And then we pulled out the eggs and the oil and the other ingredients. We turned the oven to 350 degrees. We prepared the pans. We washed our hands. And then we began the baking. It was a lot of fun. Well, at our house, we like to do dipped pretzels. You know, pretzels dipped in chocolate and then cover it with sprinkles, so many sprinkles that you can hardly even see the chocolate there anymore. They're such a good, delightful treat. They're a favorite of mine. I don't know about you, but there's something about that salty, sweet combination that just adds on those holiday pounds, like 1 pound after another, because you just can't put them down. They're like Pringles once you start popping. You just can't stop. They're delightful. Well, this week when we started baking, our first culinary confection on the baking list, however, it wasn't the dipped pretzels. What it was is cupcakes. Yeah, cupcakes. So I know what you're thinking out there. That's not a very typical Christmas-like treat. You're supposed to have gingerbread men or sugar cookies or peanut butter balls or those cookies that you have red dough and white dough and you roll them and you make them into candy canes. Yeah, that's not what we baked this week first. First on our list was cupcakes, at least 2 dozen. And while I was getting the ingredients out, my six-year-old son, Joshua, he was playing with a toy in the living room, and he hollered out, "Hey, Mama, how old is Jesus?" He asked that from the other room. "Well, Mary gave birth to him about 2,000 years ago." "Whoa, that's pretty old," he replied as he was playing with a toy, and he set it down, and he's starting to get a little curious about what's going to happen in the kitchen as he saw those pretzels, and so we wandered in. Well, then I asked my daughter, I said, "Hey, Lydia, would you like to help me bake some cupcakes?" And sure enough, my four-year-old daughter was really interested in that. So she helped to start baking. She excitedly washed her hands and got right to work. She started cracking open the eggs. Have you ever been with a four-year-old cracking open the eggs? It's pretty funny, right? And she's pouring the oil, and she's using all of her muscles and mixing with her great delight. And she's putting out the wrappers that are sticking together in the cupcake pans. And Joshua's helping a little bit, too, in between all of his toy creation he's doing. And while we're baking, I'm curious, and I ask Lydia, I said, "So what's your favorite part of baking? Is it the eggs, the oil, stirring?" And with a little twinkle in her eye, a little grin on her face, she was very quick to respond, "I like licking the batter, Mama." Right? The verdict's still out there between parents and grandparents and aunties and uncles. Shall you or shall you not let your child lick the batter when there's raw eggs inside of it? Once a year, it's okay. So then setting the timer for 20 minutes, and the cupcakes are then baked, they're cooled, and they're quickly enjoyed by about 10:30 in the morning, thanks to the sugar buzz, right? Huge sugar buzz by 10:30 in the morning, and they're complete with green frosting and purple frosting and tons of extra sprinkles. So why on earth the cupcakes? Why not something typical like gingerbread men or sugar cookies? Well, my kids are part of a clergy household. They're PKs, so in our house, we bake birthday cupcakes for baby Jesus to celebrate. You know, this isn't just your typical holiday season. We drive around Brighton and we see the gorgeous lights and there's Christmas trees up and all that wonderful festivities. But this season isn't just a holiday season. This season we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. So birthday cupcakes for Jesus is the translation of how you celebrate that when you're 4 and you're 6. It's a fun tradition we've been doing for the past couple of years. I'd encourage you to pick it up. We get to celebrate and we bite into a cupcake and we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. The long-awaited Messiah, the anointed one, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. The Christ child born on Christmas Day, who brings us hope and peace and joy and love. As we bend our ears to the scripture lesson this morning that all the children and the students read for us, or at our 5 o'clock services it was told through the Christmas pageant, as we bend our ear to that very familiar, wonderful story, We know it begins with a long journey, not some cupcakes. Although I'd like to think that Mary probably was having some pregnancy cravings at that point in time. I don't know if cupcakes existed then. But the journey, it starts with a very long journey. Very long walk. Mary and Joseph find themselves traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem as it was required by the government to fulfill the census at the time. And so they're traveling not because they're on some great vacation. It's not winter break from them. They're not traveling to necessarily even see family. They're not traveling for that one last sneak-in trip before the family of two becomes a family of three. They're not doing that. I know that's popular. But instead, they're traveling because their oppressive government is dictating where they should be counted for the census. And so Mary and Joseph travel during this third trimester of Mary's pregnancy. If you've had a baby, you know traveling during your third trimester would be miserable. You can only imagine how uncomfortable Mary might be as she's walking many miles along this journey. Some of our Christmas pageants for children picture Mary riding on a donkey, but I don't think that's any better, do you think? And so she's doing her best, probably, I like to imagine, to keep up with Joseph. With swollen ankles and swollen feet, she's pregnant. She's almost 9 months if she goes full term. And then upon arriving into that little town of Bethlehem, probably some 300 to 400 people, our scholars tell us, the population of the time, they discover that there's a next obstacle is to find some lodging for the night. The walk turned out to be the easy part. What are they going to do now that the baby is born? And with additional travelers in town, that little town of 300 to 400 people was probably growing greater in size as people are flooding into the city for the census. And now they're tired, and now they're hungry, and we have swollen ankles, and we have swollen feet, and there's not cupcakes within your reach at 7-Eleven, and you're going, there's no hotel, and there's no Airbnb, and what are we going to do? We're out of luck. There's no room at the inn. Well, our children's nativity pageants tell us that a makeshift room will be found, perhaps a stable. There's maybe even some hay there and some animals present. Maybe there's a cow mooing or a donkey braying or a sheep baaing or a chicken clucking. Maybe there's some barnyard animals present. And so when we sing that song, that Christmas carol, Silent Night, I can't help but wonder, how quiet and silent really was it that evening in Bethlehem? How quiet can it really be in a barn when a baby's about ready to be born? Finally, those cries from Mary and those cries from the Christ child ring out, and Jesus is born, and he breathes his first breath, and he sings praises to God in heaven, and the long-awaited Messiah and King is born. The Lord of Lords, the Anointed One, is here. Emmanuel, God is with us. Through a baby boy, a holy little infant. And that Christmas carol we sing, we ponder that song and we hold it in our hearts. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. But I'm not so sure how quiet or silent that night would have been, or at least not for too long. Because the word of Jesus spreads quickly. Certainly on that holy night, the word spreads quickly. The good news gets around. And so the angels, they go and they tell the shepherds, they say, do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth lying in a manger. And as that humble moment took place, the humble, lowly shepherds learned of Christ's birth, and they quickly come and they see this newborn babe wrapped in bands of cloth lying in that manger, and the angels rejoice, and all of the earth celebrates. And as Mary and Joseph have just given birth to this baby and they've welcomed Jesus into the world, the shepherds gather and the angels rejoice, and some wholly unexpected guests show up on Mary and Joseph's doorstep of that stable. Jesus' birth becomes somewhat of a surprise party. Of course, there weren't cupcakes, but it becomes sort of this impromptu surprise party. some unexpected guests show up. When John and I had our kids, I told him, I said, okay, the grandparents can come and visit in the hospital, but that's it. Friends or neighbors or church friends, let's invite them to meet the kids in the coming days or weeks. But at the hospital, no unexpected guests. But for Mary and Joseph, unexpected guests show up at their doorstep. Surprise, the shepherds have arrived. Surprise, the angels are here and they're singing glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace among those whom he favors. Surprise, there's these unexpected guests knocking at the stable door. And there's this beautiful moment, and there's this great beauty in who those guests are. There's beauty in knowing that the first invited guests to come and see the Christ child, the newborn king, is the lowly, humble shepherds. Now, they're the least likely to get an invitation. If you're expecting to come visit the king, the Messiah, the anointed one, the holy one, you're thinking that the important, that the proud, that the people with power are going to show up on that doorstep. And yet, that's not what happened in the story, in the scriptures. The holy, humble shepherds get the invite first and hear the news first. And that's exactly who God invited to the party first. God wanted to include those shepherds first. You see, maybe you've heard a preacher preach on this on Christmas Eve before. Maybe you've known this before, but here's the reminder. The shepherds were amongst the lowest of the social class, the lowest of the social order. They weren't particularly liked. They were thought to be less than. They were kind of the current migrant workers of the time. They were people of poverty. And yet the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ first came to them. They were the first to join in the surprise party. They got to be a part of the fun. It was the shepherds that got the invite first. It kind of foreshadows for us a little bit of what Jesus' ministry might be all about. Jesus would then go on to spend much of his life and much of his ministry surrounded with people just like those shepherds. The sinners, the outcasts, the poor, the tax collector, the people that were thought to have been less than, Jesus gladly welcomed them and said, y'all come on in. Women who were second-class citizens who were known through their husband or known through their father, yeah, they were welcome amongst Jesus. And children who were only supposed to be quiet, not even really seen, or the aged or the forgotten, Jesus gladly welcomed those folks to have the best seats at the table, always reaching out, making sure they were welcomed, and knowing they were loved. And so this surprise party for Jesus, it gives a great picture and a good insight into who Jesus would become and what would be expected of his followers and what we would be called and asked to do as a church to make sure everybody has an invite here. Everybody's welcomed in the doors of this church. At this impromptu surprise party for Jesus, then they, of course, have to exchange some gifts. Little kids love to take a gift to a birthday party, right? And maybe if you're lucky, you might even get a party favor in return. And there were gifts that night, but I'm not talking about the gold, the frankincense, or the myrrh from the Magi. Those arrived later on, much later. But the gifts that were received at the time of Jesus' birth, the gift that was shared with the world, was the gift of Jesus himself. God incarnate, God made flesh, God brought to earth to walk among us, to love us, to forgive us, to offer us grace, to teach us to be his followers, to walk in lives of peace, to seek after justice, to live humbly, to be a part of building God's kingdom here and now on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. The gift that was received at the time of Jesus' birth was this impromptu surprise party. And it was the greatest party that the world has ever known. Because it was the gift of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. It was the greatest gift on that silent, holy, calm night. Emmanuel, God with us.
So tomorrow morning when you're opening up presents under your Christmas tree or digging into the stockings, and maybe you're exchanging gifts or opening up some cards, may we remember that the greatest gift has already been given. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the light of the world, he's born. And tomorrow morning, if you want to quickly bake up a batch of cupcakes or make some up in the morning, and if you were to light a candle and place that birthday candle into the cupcake, may it remind us that Jesus is the true light that shines in the darkness. On this holy and still and sacred night, Christ is born in Bethlehem. The light of the world is with us. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's so good to be with you here this evening on Christmas Eve. Some of you may have been here last year. If you were here last year on Christmas Eve, it was a little bizarre, to be quite honest. We weren't able to gather here in the sanctuary, and we were outside in the freezing cold. Does anybody remember that? It was so cold that those of us who were playing guitars could barely feel their fingertips by the end of the night, and yet, even in the midst of that darkness, we were able to experience the hope of Christmas. We know that some of us have not been able to feel fully comfortable worshiping back here in the sanctuary. I just want to say, as we enter into this time of prayer, Pastor Lindsay and I, we want to meet you. We want to get to know you. We want to hear your stories. We want to grow with you. We want to learn from you. And we want to do this faith together with you. And we're so glad that you decided to make this church your spiritual home on Christmas Eve. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the great mystery of the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. And though it was 2,000 years ago on a not-so-silent night, we celebrate the hope and the joy and the love and the peace and the faith that it has given to millions of people throughout the years. And we gather here in this church to give thanks for all of the good things that you have done in our lives, even in the midst of the trials and tribulations of our time. We're grateful for the good news that comes through the gathering of family and friends, the office celebrations, the festivities that accompany this season of Advent and Christmas. And as we gather together here in your church, we pray that this story would fall afresh on us this night, that we would remember Mary and Joseph and Jesus, and that we would have an opportunity here in the midst of this space to put ourselves back in time into that moment, a moment of anxiety and fear, a moment of hope and rejoicing. And we pray as we gather here in this church for folks all around us who struggle with homelessness and joblessness, for people who are hungry, for people who are experiencing mental illness and who are struggling with addiction, for folks who are struggling in our midst, in relationships, in their marriages, and in their lives. And we pray that this church, our church, might be a part of the good news that some folks in our world so desperately need to experience and hear. We pray that through our friendships, through our relationships with our neighbors and coworkers, through our relationships with our family, we might share the hope of this season. And so we pause in the midst of the busyness of our day-to-day life to offer our own individual prayers of confession and offer our prayers of intercession during this time. Great God of light, for the things that we have done that we wish we hadn't, and for the things that we haven't done that we wish we had, we pray for your forgiveness and mercy. And we ask your blessing on all those whom we hold dear in our hearts as we name them before you. And now we continue together by praying the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Great ways to respond to God's good work in our midst, and one of them is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. In a moment, our ushers will be moving through the space, but I just want to say a big thank you to everybody involved in the music ministry tonight for all of your gifts, the ways in which your voices and your ringing of bells and your playing of instruments, the strings, the piano, it's been such a gift. Susan, Bill, thank you for your gifts for leading us in song, and as we gather here and receive this offering, I am celebrating with all of you that this year, despite everything going on in our midst, we are able to raise $10,000 as a church for the Vena Dental Clinic, which is a ministry that our church supports to give low-income individuals and families dental care in our community. And in addition to that, we are able to raise close to $100,000 that have been given away to missions outside of our church. And we're celebrating that this night, which is why tonight our offering, the Christmas offering that we receive, will go out to missions, ministries beyond our local church, and we pray that our church would continue to be a blessing to folks in our community who are struggling. So we invite you to give generously so that we can continue to transform our world and make it ever more like the image and likeness of the kingdom of God. Would the ushers please come forward as we receive this morning's offering?
We gather this evening to celebrate the light in our midst, the Christ who shines in the darkness, bringing light for all to see. If you're at home, I'd invite you to find a candle in your home and to light it at this time. And as we will receive the light in the sanctuary here, the ushers will come down the aisle and pass the light to you. And if your candle is lit, please keep it upright and bend yours to get it lit. We receive the light of Christ in our midst this day.
Thank you. Christ, the Savior, is born. As we look around the room, not only do we feel the presence of Christ with us, but we see the light of Christ shining within all of us. So may we take this light with us and out into the world this day to proclaim that Christ is born on Christmas Day. Go in peace, dear church. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.